coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz. Welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, as we knock on the door of April. Well, we're not even knocking on the door. If we take a step into April on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. I'm a former game warden, a current biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. So if you're new to the program, that's the angle that I come from. I am a North Dakota native. I've lived in North Dakota all my entire life. In fact, I don't think I've been gone from North Dakota for more than maybe 2 weeks at a time here and there. And quite frankly, I'd like to keep it that way as well. So we appreciate you climbing aboard the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. April 1st marked the date that you needed a new fishing license for North Dakota. There's also some new fishing regulations that went into effect. We'll talk more about that as we go through. But that's probably first and foremost that you need a new fishing license as of April 1st for North Dakota. And no real significant changes in fishing regulations. We'll touch on those as we go. We got plenty of time to talk about that. We'll be bringing you a Central Dakota Outdoors report with Pat Stockdale. CJ Johnson will get us updated on the Minnesota side as well. Just a week away from the spring turkey season opening up in North Dakota. So if you've got a turkey tag, time to get yourself in gear and get ready to go if you drew a spring gobbler tag. If you also missed it, March 26th was the deadline for moose, elk, and bighorn sheep applications. Few people missed that deadline. Fact of the matter is, many people wait and wait with anxious anticipation of hitting that deadline. And as we build up to it, year after year, whether it's before the deadline or after the deadline, we get a lot of questions about moose, elk, and bighorn sheep in North Dakota. And Jeb Williams is the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Our guest is a beach buccaneer, a beach native, and started his career as an outreach biologist, moved into the Wildlife Division as a district manager, and has been the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division for working on 3 years. Now, Jeb, one of the first questions that pops up when we talk about moose, elk, and bighorn sheep applications in North Dakota is hunters have been applying for years and years, decades and decades, never been drawn, and they hear about somebody else just from the luck of the draw put in 1 year and drew a tag. The response is, why couldn't we have preference points in a weighted lottery that we have for deer, for moose, elk, and bighorn sheep? Jeb, it's the usual response and explanation.
Yeah, and I think it is a fair question. You know, people do ask that a lot.
Sure.
The reason behind that we do not is that there are such a small number of licenses available, and so statistically speaking, a bonus point system would not increase anybody's chances because majority of people would carry the same amount of bonus points moving forward. And so one of the things that we know that it would do is that it would put new people into the system at an extreme disadvantage, you know, for example, kids, yeah. Yes. And it definitely would put them at extreme disadvantage while not really helping anybody's chances significantly of actually drawing a license. So overall, we think that the system that's in place puts everybody in the, you know, same opportunity to draw, and that's what kind of makes it the fun of it.
Let's make a point, Jeb, is that people have their own wants and desires. Some people have hunted elk in Wyoming and shot bull elk for years and years, and they would just love a chance at drawing an elk tag in North Dakota and maybe putting a check mark saying that they shot an elk in Montana, Idaho, Colorado, Wyoming, and were one of the few to shoot an elk in North Dakota. There's different tags that have better odds of drawing, isn't there?
If a person isn't set on antlers, you know,
right.
If a person wants to put in for for a cow license, it definitely does increase your odds. The majority of people that are applying for for the any licenses or the bull licenses, that type of thing, with the moose and the elk. For some of the cow license draws, that individual actually has a better chance of drawing for one of those licenses that you might actually for a deer license in North Dakota in a lot of areas. So it definitely does increase your odds greatly. We're seeing anywhere from 1 to 4, 1 to 5 in some of those units that puts a person in a pretty decent position to draw a license, and sometimes even better than that. People have done that in the past, and again, it is something that people have to kind of weigh the odds a little bit. It no doubt is a once in a lifetime opportunity, but again, your odds of drawing that any license, which of course you can harvest a bull in that with that license, the odds aren't in your favor of doing that. And so statistically speaking, a person is never probably going to draw that license. Some people might get lucky and do that, but your odds will definitely go up if you look at going in for a cow only.
Let's take a look at individual populations, starting with bighorn sheep in North Dakota.
Sure. Bighorn sheep number, the license numbers anyway, actually was increased by one this year. So there's going to be a total of 5 licenses available for people that are interested in that very coveted bighorn sheep license and opportunity in North Dakota, which is, a good thing. We kind of fluctuate. It seems like anywhere between 3 and 6 number of licenses is kind of where we're at in North Dakota, and depending on the year and situation with what's going on with bighorn sheep. And so 5 licenses this year, so people have that opportunity to apply for 1 of 5, and of course one of those is an auction license, and so people will have the chance for applying for one out of the 4 licenses here in North Dakota.
Jeb Williams is the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And in North Dakota, we are very fortunate, very blessed to have a population of moose, elk, and bighorn sheep. Even if you're not a hunter, if you're listening and you don't take part in hunting activities, you can smile a little bit and take pride knowing that the variety of species that call North Dakota home is, from my vantage point, one of the very best. There's not a lot of states that can hang their hat on what we have in North Dakota. So take pride in that. The odds of drawing, not real strong. But as Jeb mentioned, some of those tags, cow elk license, in some units, some zones, you might have a better chance drawing a cow elk tag than a mule deer buck tag or even a buck tag. Jeb Williams talks about moose and elk. When we return, it's the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. And I mentioned last segment, that you needed a new fishing license on April 1st. I also mentioned that when you buy your new fishing license, the cost has increased. This is not a game and fish deal. We don't just decide, well, let's go charge a little bit more for fishing license this year. Last year in the North Dakota legislature, license fee adjustments were made for the first time in like 20 years. And it started off January 1st with your boat registration. And your smaller boat under 16 feet went from $12 to $18. Your normal 16 to 20 foot boat went from $24 to $36. Your fishing license, which you need a new one April 1st, your resident fishing license went from $10 up to $16. If you have a senior citizen's, a 65 or older fishing license, went from $3 to $5. Your husband and wife fishing license increased from $14 to $22. Your sportsman's license, which is what a lot of guys and gals buy, which includes your small game, your general game and habitat, along with your fishing license, fur bear, went from $32 up to $50. And it's going to also increase for next fall. The non-resident fishing licenses, if you've got friends or family coming to North Dakota, your non-resident individual license for the entire season went from $35 to $45. A non-resident husband and wife license is now $60. It used to be $45. If you've just got somebody visiting North Dakota for a few days and they buy a 3-day, like a weekend fishing license, is now $25. It used to be $15. Big thing is, though, is to make sure that you get your new fishing license required April 1st. Even if you bought one in January to just start ice fishing this winter, it doesn't go on the calendar year. It doesn't last for an entire year. You need a new one as of April 1st. Jeb Williams is the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department in North Dakota. We are very blessed to have populations of bighorn sheep, of moose, and of elk. We talked about the bighorn sheep population. Jeb, let's shift gears a little bit, and let's talk about the moose numbers in North Dakota.
I'm really experiencing kind of some interesting dynamics with moose in North Dakota. It's some of our more traditional northern habitat, traditionally speaking, good moose habitat in North Dakota, really seeing some struggles and some declines with moose numbers. So very similar to what Minnesota is seeing with their moose population and significant declines. But in other parts of the state, however, in North Dakota, we're actually seeing some increased numbers, more of our prairie moose population, which has been a real neat thing to be able to watch unfold here over the last 10 to 15 years. And one of the things that the department is currently about ready to begin with, or actually has started the process, is some moose research in the northwest part of the state where those moose have moved and occupied some of the more prairie portions of North Dakota, and where we actually have seen some interesting numbers and some numbers actually on the increase. But we don't know a lot about prairie moose in North Dakota, and so we're trying to know more about that, and that's one of the reasons we're undertaking a moose study right now.
He's Jeb Williams. I'm Doug Lear. You're listening to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live as we work through the status of moose, elk, and bighorn sheep in North Dakota. We've covered bighorn sheep. We've covered moose. Let's move on, Jeb, to the elk population. And when we talk about elk, it's really a direct correlation as to how a population is doing and the number of tags that are available for any given year in terms of hunting seasons, Jeb.
Yeah, elk, same thing. Same number of licenses from 2013. Again, one of the challenges the department's had over the last couple of years is trying to balance and manage the herd reduction effort out in Theodore Roosevelt National Park with the outside opportunities that people have. And so our elk success has actually stayed pretty decent in that area. The number of licenses has been reduced, however, but the elk success rate has still been pretty good. And so we're offering the same number of licenses with our elk as we have in the previous years. And just keep our eye on that situation in the western part of the state, making sure that people have a good opportunity out there to be able to harvest an elk. And we still think that there is an opportunity out there, definitely not as much as what there was. I mean, the effort in the Theodore Roosevelt National Park took out close to 1,000 animals in a 3-year period of time. So that is going to impact the herd on the outside of that fence as well. And so that's something that the department has had to keep a close eye on.
One last question, Jeb, is just to relay to both hunters and the non-hunting listeners, is that you get drawn for a moose or bighorn sheep tag. These are once in a lifetime opportunities, literally, aren't they?
They are. We hear comments back from people every year. We get some great stories and pictures associated with the time and effort that people put in for these for these opportunities, and the few that are fortunate enough to get drawn really have a wonderful time, and it's something that we hear really good things from the people each and every year. So it's an exciting time of year for people.
It's a great point to wrap up on. Jeb Williams, the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, is understanding that if you are drawn, the select company that you're in, the number of applicants in many of these is 10,000, in that range of 10,000 people that apply for the few bighorn sheep tags. The moose and the elk tags as well are very limited. And when we talked earlier about the odds of drawing like a cow elk tag can be better than drawing some of the buck mule deer tags, for instance, in some of those units, but you also got to understand is that just drawing a tag doesn't guarantee that you're going to go out and get a shot at a trophy bull elk in North Dakota, at a huge bull or cow, moose, or bigger sheep. The success rates are very good. Elk is about 50%. When you compare that to some of the other states, it's nothing to nothing to be ashamed of whatsoever. It's much better than some states in terms of a success rate. Our moose success rate over 90%. Our bighorn sheep last year was 100%. But still realize that it's not a guarantee. When you hear of an elk success rate of 50%, sometimes people on these once-in-a-lifetime tags, they'll apply and not realize what they're getting themselves into in terms of the resources needed to go out and find an elk and harvest an elk. So I always want to make sure that we tag that on the end, is for people to realize that even if it's once in a lifetime, doesn't mean that it's guaranteed. And some of it depends on the amount of effort and resources that you're able to put into it. Coming up next on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors Report on the mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, as we roll into the first weekend of April. And what a way to start off April with what much of North Dakota went through on Monday and Tuesday, and now finally starting to get back a little bit of sense of normalcy, as well, spring turkey season is just around the corner. Isn't that something? Spring turkey season opens up next Saturday in North Dakota. Palm Sunday, the 13th, Easter Sunday. Gosh, you hate to burn through April. That's one thing that does happen with April compared to March, is April does tend to maybe sneak up on you and get by you a little bit too quick. So we'll try to keep you updated as we roll through kind of a transition of seasons. The spring snow goose season, definitely, the spring snow goose season was definitely dealt a bump this week. And I would say, as we look at it now, not necessarily a bad sort of a bump. I know Pat Stockdale will be bringing us a Central Dakota Outdoors report to get us updated on, well, kind of what the feeling is. It's so hard to know, especially when you get such a massive system and a snow goose migration that last Saturday and Sunday was really starting to take off in North Dakota. My neighbor Brad drove from around Minot back to West Fargo on Sunday afternoon and noted strings of snow geese much of the trip, as did many other people in their reports. If you ever want to send me a report, feel free to shoot me an email, outdoorslive@gmail.com, outdoorslive@gmail.com. But that was really the picture before the storm. And if there was one good thing about that storm, well, maybe a couple things. The farmers were looking for a little bit of moisture, not necessarily a bad thing to put a little moisture out there before April. And typical, I was reading this earlier, but typical spring planting dates are the mid part of April, actually around Easter of this year, some earlier, some later. But a little bit of moisture a couple weeks ahead of it, not necessarily a bad thing because things had started to get a little bit dry. The snow geese had been moving heavy into North Dakota. So that moisture from the snow is one thing. And then that band of snowfall across central North Dakota. You draw a line from like Bismarck to Devil's Lake to Grand Forks, and that's almost a stop of snow geese. Because not just the simple depth, but the width of it from north of Highway 5 down to I-94, that should hold some of those snow geese back. It should help delay a little bit, at least a little bit, of the snow goose migration. Didn't help for the ice fishing in terms of access. Ice fishing is still open in North Dakota, but for snow goose hunters, probably not the worst thing. Let's see what we get this week when we connect with Pat Stockdale, as she brings us a Central Dakota Outdoors report. You read her work in Dakota Country Magazine, Minnesota Outdoor News, and she connects with guides, outfitters, bait shops, game wardens, people across North Dakota to give us a little better feel of what's cooking outdoors this week, Pat.
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Well, winter doesn't seem to want to loosen its grip on many parts of North Dakota, and that's made things interesting for both fishing and light goose migration. With limited reports because of the lingering snow and cold, one thing anglers could focus on is the fact that fishing should, emphasis on should here, still be fair to good on Pelican Lake, which was garnering some nice angling interest prior to Monday's storm. Devil's Lake itself was still producing pike, perch, and walleye, as well as Stump Lake. However, the one big variable could be ice. Yes, it's been cold, but don't forget that earlier warm weather created mushy and slushy shorelines. The bottom line is, please be careful if you're thinking about some late season ice fishing. The Red and Cheyenne Rivers have very nice conditions, ranging from open water to sagging ice because of reservoir drawdowns. So waiting for open water fishing is probably the best bet for area rivers. Speaking of rivers, despite the cold weather and recent storm, there is some more open water on the Missouri River. And a few anglers are fishing from the bridges around Bismarck Mandan south towards Hazleton. Some activity is taking place around Washburn, north Bismarck Mandan, as well. Lake Audubon remains fair for walleye, with most activity around the east end. The weather certainly made things interesting for waterfowl movement. The birds will likely continue pushing north as quickly as they can, but so much depends on Mother Nature. Good luck if you're heading out, and don't forget that when it warms up, mud will be an issue for both fields and roads. And don't forget that boats now need their new North Dakota registrations for those open water fishermen, and new fishing and fur bear licenses must now be in hand.
As always, we appreciate that report, Pat Stockdale, with our Central Dakota Outdoors report. Reminder, with spring turkey season opening up next Saturday, you need a new small game license in North Dakota. You do need a new small game license for North Dakota. And the price has gone up. If you buy a sportsman's license, the price went up from I bought one online last week, $32 to $50, whatever it is. It seemed like a little bit of a bump. But then when you think of, very seldom do I stop and put gas in my Expedition, that doesn't require a $50 bill as well. So the price of your small game license, your fishing license, legislatively, that went up last year. The big thing is to make sure that you get a new small game license before you go out turkey hunting. We will be bringing you a Minnesota Outdoors report with CJ Johnson here on your home for the outdoors, the Mighty 790 KFGO. CJ Johnson up next. And welcome back to The Last Shot for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, as we get ready to connect with CJ Johnson with a Minnesota Outdoors report. Also should remind you that coming up Monday and Tuesday, advisory board meetings in our backyard. Now, don't confuse these with the special deer management meetings. These advisory board meetings are fisheries, wildlife, ducks, deer, paddlefish, walleye, plots. In fact, there's going to be some special private lands meetings preceding these at 6 o'clock. So here we go. In our backyard, Finley on Monday night, 6 o'clock, a special private lands meeting for landowners, people interested in plots program, private lands programs with Game and Fish, Pheasants Forever. Those folks will be around at the auditorium in Finley. The advisory board meeting starts at 7 o'clock. Also, the following night, Tuesday night, Valley City at the VFW, 7 o'clock at the VFW, 6 o'clock, private lands meeting, 7 o'clock, advisory board meeting. That same evening in Devil's Lake at the Chautauqua Room of Lake Region State College, 6 o'clock, private lands meeting, 7 o'clock, advisory board meeting. These are the spring round of advisory board meetings in North Dakota. Well, folks, now it's time to take a quick look into Minnesota for an outdoors report as we slowly but surely work our way to the Minnesota fishing opener, about a month away. Boy, I tell you what, doesn't seem like spring has really latched on yet, but you know what? Sooner or later it will be. And when we talk about Minnesota outdoors, we connect with our good friend CJ Johnson. He is a Lisbon, North Dakota native, and he's a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Get us a little better feeling for what's going on outdoors across Minnesota. CJ, how's things looking outdoors in Minnesota this week, my friend?
Well, not too bad. It depends upon where you're standing right now. You're either going to get snow or sunshine. It's going to be 60 degrees or it's going to be 28. But that's called spring in Minnesota. And I'm glad you mentioned the opener in May 14 or 15, whichever Saturday that is, because you always want to check whenever you go out for the opening in Minnesota. There's always new slot limits on a lot of the lakes. You want to check it out. Every bait shop will know them. They'll let you know what they are, because you you really do want to follow the rules and regs. So taking a look around, first of all, Lake of the Woods Tourism, they said good ice fishing yet. The walleye season remains open until April 14. Mark it on your calendar now so you don't get caught with something up there. However, the northern pike season is open all year long up in Lake of the Woods. It seems mornings and evenings are still the most productive times, with short flurries of good bites throughout the day. Fish are coming in from 24 to 26 feet of water and with green, white, and red, white tackle tipped with a minnow. Seems to be the best attractor right now, and electronics will help you a lot on that big body of water. Hackensack, their reports indicate good perch fishing on Lake Winnebogoches and Woman Lake right now. If you're drinking Rapalas, they seem to be the best for the jumbo fish right now. And if the fish don't respond, just put a wax worm on the treble hook, and that will focus the fish's attention. Johnson's port side up in the lake, Lake Mille Lacs, says travel on the lake has improved somewhat with a little bit of colder weather off and on, but anglers have been quite minimal up there because of winds and snow and various and sundry thing. There is a road to the Tulabee Hole, if you want to call it that, on the east side of Mille Lacs, although Tulabees and perch action is still a little bit limited up there. Again, open water on Mille Lacs will improve a lot of things. Ben's Bait and Tackle over on, says, Little Cutfoot Sioux Lake up in the Grand Rapids area is producing some perch, crappies, and a few bluegills. They're down about 20 feet. You'll find crappies out of the northwest access of Bowstring Lake. They're 20 to 25 feet of water, and perch slightly shallower in the Grand Rapids area. Wilmer Lakes Tourism Office says fishing has been excellent in that area. Diamond, Wilmer, and Put Lakes continue to give up some good numbers of perch and sunfish during the day and crappies during the evening hours. And remember now, there aren't many weekends left, so this might be the time for you to head out in that area. Jinger's Sports Shop in Perham reports crappies are being found suspended throughout the day, 30 to 35 feet on Big Pine Lake. This is in the Perham area. Sunfish reports are limited, but tulabees seem to be hitting waxworms and spoons, but they are down 50 to 70 feet on Little Pine Lake, Star Lake, and Long Lake. And Jamie Hanton in Otter Tail Lakes Country says it's April and snowstorms are still with them in that area. They've had some good snow there. Now, if you do fish, she says continue to keep an eye on the access at Otter Tail Lake for sure. Foot travel is really recommended on all the lakes at this point, especially on warm days, so you don't get unwanted surprises when you get out there to the access. New fishing tip of the week is to pay attention to the upper water column, just right under the ice. You should be able to stand by your fishing hole, look into the lake, see your bait just under the ice. That's where the panfish are traveling right now. And Becca Arndt, she's back from her world travels in Detroit Lakes, and she says they still have 30 or more inches of ice on some of the Detroit Lakes areas. They continue to have ice fishing for at least a week or two before the ice will start pulling away from the shoreline. That means what that's what they're predicting right now, but again, with warm weather on and off, it can move a lot faster. Panfish anglers having some success with big bluegills and a mix of crappies in shallow water near weed areas. Small jakes, small jigging spoons tipped with waxies or a small minnow seem to be working the best. And Doug, yeah, we're all worried about what we eat nowadays, and I remember a dietitian was addressing a large audience I was part of in Minneapolis a while back, and he said the material we put in our stomachs is enough to have killed most of us sitting here years ago. And he went on and said, red meat is awful, soft drinks erode your stomach lining, Chinese food is loaded with MSG, vegetables can be disastrous due to the chemicals and pesticides we put on them, and none of us realizes the long-term harm caused by the germs in our drinking water. But he said, there is one thing that is the most dangerous of all, and we all have or will eat it. And then he asked everybody there, Can anyone here tell me what food it is that causes the most grief and suffering for years after eating it? Well, everybody looked at each other for a bit there. And finally, an old guy stood up and said, "Yes, sir, I know what it is. It's called wedding cake." Whoopsie.
Oh, CJ.
It's always great. It's a catch we got to work on.
No doubt about it. Absolutely love it.
I hope my wife never hears that one.
I think, you know, my gut tells me, CJ, that maybe she has already heard it once or twice.
Just might have.
I appreciate it, as always, CJ Johnson, with a little look at Minnesota outdoors and some humor, too. Thanks so much for your time, CJ.
You betcha.
And that's going to wrap things up for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. A special thank you goes out to Bob Harris, the executive producer of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Don't forget, feel free to check out the blog at kfjoe.com and podcasts. Again, thank you to Bob Harris for podcasting this program. Available at kfjoe.com. Shoot me an email, outdoorslive@gmail.com. And Outdoors Live is updated daily at 6:20 with myself and the Big Kahuna. 6:20 Monday through Friday. 1:40 on Thursdays with Jack and Sandy. Until next time, I'm Doug Lear, reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.